Welcome, Wisconsin.
Happy Friday.
Sun just came out full blast where I'm at. I hope it's shining on you as well, all across the state. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've listened for even a short bit of time, you have probably heard me talk about the fact that the more local the election, the larger the impact on your life. In other words, all we seem to hear about is these sexy national political stuff, the big fights, the huge billion-dollar campaigns. But it ends up being that, you know, your common council, your village boards, your county boards of supervisors, and certainly your state assembly persons matter so much more to your day-to-day quality of life. And I'm super happy to be joined by State Assembly District 19 candidate Jared Anderson. Welcome back, Jared.
Thank you so much, Maggie. I'm glad to be here.
The reason I wanted to have you back is that there's been quite the recent hubbub and to-do over your opponent. Your opponent is a Democrat. You are running as a Democrat. It is very unusual, especially in Milwaukee area politics, to see a Democrat challenge a sitting incumbent Democrat in a primary. So why are you doing that? Then I want to turn to some of the local coverage. What made you get interested and challenge another Dem?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, what you say is mostly true. He runs as a Democrat. He caucuses with a Democrat. But if you ask him, he describes himself as a socialist, right? He's a member of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. And, you know, that's all fine until it comes to what we're trying to do at the Democratic caucus, right? We have a chance for the first time in 13 years to get a majority in the assembly this year, and we got to take that seriously. And if we can't depend on all of our Democratic votes to show up, the majority will fail. And so I decided to get into this because I think it's important that the 19th district is represented by a true Democrat that wants to work with other people, get things done, and serve the community in the right way.
And you don't have to take Jared or my word for it. Mr. Clancy's most recent mailer to voters said this, quote, "I am proud to be part of the first socialist caucus in Madison since 1931, alongside my colleague, Representative Darren Madison." It's interesting. Two does not make a caucus, does not a caucus make, in my opinion. I've called him a socialist before. I think I got the name of the party wrong and called it a socialist Democrat. It's the Democratic Socialist Party of America. But this is Mr. Clancy's own language. The thing that really gets my blood boiling about this is that Mr. Clancy provides, in my opinion, the exact fodder, the exact ammunition that people like Donald Trump and his MAGA co-conspirators use to attack all Democrats, even centrist Democrats who are really willing to get things done, that his positions are so extreme and he is so unwilling to compromise that he makes, frankly, the rest of us look like lunatics and makes us all subject to these attacks from the right. That is fundamentally my problem. My second problem with Mr. Clancy is that he effectively lies about it. He acts or tries to sort of feign like he might be mostly Democratic or a Democrat, and that he'll work with other people. But when it actually is time for rubber to meet road, when compromise and controlling your language, not embracing very far left rhetoric, when he's called to those moments, he fails at each and every opportunity. What specifically, Jared, do you propose to do if you're elected to the 19th district that will be different from what Mr. Clancy has done?
I mean, the answer to that is collaborate. It's working with people. It's working with the city and the county and my colleagues at the state level to work on these as a unit, as a caucus. This is a time that we need Democrats to come together and to solve hard problems using all of the resources that we have to bear. And that, you know, these problems are things that we need the mayor to weigh in on and the county executive to weigh in on and the state assembly to weigh in and the governor, right? This is about working together. And if you show up to your job in Madison and you don't have any friends and you don't have any power, that is not where we need to be as the 19th district. This is, you know, a special district. I call it the marquee district of Wisconsin because it is Milwaukee. It's the lakefront. It's Summerfest. It's beautiful, and we need to take that seriously.
I couldn't agree more. It's interesting that you mention what is the political reality of extremist rhetoric within the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Mr. Clancy isn't really even noted by those on the right. I mean, they'll attack what he says and try to paint us all with a broad brush because it's convenient, but mm-hmm. nobody even talks to him because he has no power because he's so extreme. And that's a real problem. If you live in the 19th district and you actually want someone who will be at the negotiating table fighting for your interests, you have to have someone who will actually get invited to the negotiating table and who isn't basically hated by everyone he's ever worked with in government. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. I'm referring to a recent piece in Urban Milwaukee. They're quoting County Board Supervisor and former Democratic legislator Sheldon Wasserman as saying this, quote, "There's nobody more hated in the state legislature and county government. The majority of Democrats don't want him back. Clancy doesn't want to get along with people. He purposely antagonizes people and sets up fights. He bites the hand that feeds him," end quote. Milwaukee Democratic State Representative Daniel Reamer said this about Ryan Clancy, quote, "He's a horrible colleague. He's someone who can't be trusted. He will use information shared at confidential closed caucus meetings to attack other Democrats. Quote, he's viewed as very divisive and vindictive," says another veteran assembly Democrat. Quote, "He's toxic." Another county Democratic insider says this, quote, "There was a quiet loathing of Clancy in the county courthouse." Suffice it to say, I'm assuming that your plan, Jared, isn't to make everyone hate you, is it?
No. This is about working together. This is about taking it seriously. And as you know, like you said at the start of the show, even though local elections are important, we do have an important presidential election coming up as well. And the path to the White House is through Wisconsin. This is time for Democrats to come together and to be real Democrats. That's what we need in the 19th. That's what we need at the assembly. And that's why I'm running.
You mentioned the upcoming presidential election. I was shocked to hear Representative Clancy go on Twitter and say and give these following comments. We've got that sound in a second. I was shocked. Because apparently, I have been told, people are saying, to use a construction of the former MAGA president, that after I spoke out about Mr. Clancy's prior insinuations that people should stay home in November and not vote for Joe Biden, that he apparently disputed that characterization, said that my characterization of his prior statements was unfair or unfounded in some way. Well, turns out I was exactly right. And the big liar, liar, pants on fire wasn't me, but Ryan Clancy, because this, Brian, let's take a listen.
"And I will not vote for any candidate supporting the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza."
Yeah, I wonder who he's talking about by that. What's your response to that?
I'm really frustrated. This is an incredibly important year, not just for our state assembly, not just for our state senate, but for the country. Democrats have an imperative. We need to show up for Joe Biden because the alternative is absolutely terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And for any Democrat, for anyone to stand up and actively campaign against the president, I cannot imagine the damage that will do. I mean, this is a person that some people listen to. And if they believe that the way that they need to make their voices heard is by not showing up for Joe Biden, they're helping Donald Trump. And that's not what we need. That's not leadership.
Again, my fundamental problem with so much of this is we need to have a complex and continuing discussion about what is occurring in Gaza. That sort of conversation, the pressure that needs to be brought to bear to get to a ceasefire, to get to a lasting peace, requires adults who understand history, who are interested in history. It needs the humility to understand that conflict, that almost intractable problem that has existed in that region of the world, needs, again, people that can have nuanced conversations. Whether you are coming from the far right or the far left, I will condemn people who simply seem incapable of having those kinds of conversations. And in the case of Mr. Clancy, he's a brilliant man. He's a very smart man. He is a very good rhetorician. He knows how to wordsmith things. But the words that he uses, oftentimes, I think, aren't as clear as they possibly should be. Here we finally have him saying the quiet part out loud. If you oppose genocide, if you are for human rights, I'm sorry, is your argument that there's likely to be less genocide if Donald Trump is elected president, that you're more likely to get to a lasting peace or a ceasefire in the Mideast with a Donald Trump as president again? That's simply stupid. We're going to have to take a quick break because I want to come back and talk about representation and who gets to lay claim, who gets to say that they speak for and represent the interests of Black and brown people in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, because Ryan Clancy has certainly tried to say that he does, to the ire of many of his Black and brown colleagues at the county and elsewhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, my special guest this afternoon, Jared Anderson, candidate for the 19th Assembly seat. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
But you know what I'd do if there was a shark or you get electrocuted? I'll take electrocution every single time.
Wisconsin. Happy Friday, y'all. It's beautiful today. I hope you get a chance to get outside. Day two of Summerfest 2024. All kinds of good things. Speaking of Summerfest, the 19th Assembly District includes Summerfest within its boundaries, and I've got the 19th Assembly District candidate Jared Anderson with me today. He is a Democrat running against an incumbent Democrat. That election's going to be when you would get to vote for Jared?
August 13th.
It is the primary, everybody. Now, I'll speak more about that August 13th primary, because buried on that ballot will also be two constitutional amendments that are more trickery from Robin Voss's invalid, gerrymandered, all the heck GOP that has a vice grip on the assembly. Let's bring that all to an end. We'll talk more about that, but you can vote for Jared again on August. What is it, Jared?
August 13th.
August 13th. Before the break, I noted that Ryan Clancy has been a vocal proponent for police reform, but it's not police reform to Ryan Clancy. He is a pro-defund the police extremist far left. He's not a Democrat. He's a socialist, so I'm going to call him that. His extreme views have never had any purchase in any elected body that he has been a part of. He has never been able to enact any bit of meaningful reform. And frankly, his approach to those issues has been met with revulsion by many elected Black leaders. I want to just point this out. in the Urban Milwaukee piece from about 2 weeks ago, they reported this. Clancy was particularly disliked by most of the Black officials, including County Executive David Crowley and County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. Last year, she gave a fiery speech backing the sales tax hike and declaring that Black leaders don't need to be told by others what's best for their constituents, seen as a direct slap against Clancy. Excuse me. Quote, I have heard, this is again from Chairwoman Nicholson last year during the sales tax debate. Quote, I have heard a lot of references to leadership with that term almost spat out with disparagement to a point where the language feels coded, she declared. Quote, it's a trope as plain as day. A white liberal ally tosses aside leadership by Black and brown people with lived experience when their beliefs, methods, or individual voices, hello, do not square with an agenda that they are advocating, end quote. I'll also note that she made a very interesting reference to somebody who drives a Tesla. Clancy drives a Tesla. He's also from, I believe, Fox Point. You have the county board chairwoman, the county executive, and the mayor of Milwaukee all growing up in the 53206. The mayor and the chairwoman have endorsed you, Jared. The county executive reportedly also disliking and feeling disrespected by Ryan Clancy. Where's the shame? I mean, if you want to say that you advocate for Black and brown people and the Black and brown fellow leaders around you feel like you are disrespecting them and disparaging them and basically tossing out their beliefs to basically self-congratulatorily compliment yourself and say that you're a better advocate than the Black community, than the very people that grew up there. What does that say about you?
I mean, that, again, that is not leadership. You know, this needs to be about building community. This needs to be about coming together and respecting the expertise of those who have expertise, right? And when I spoke with Marcy Nicholson and when I spoke with Mayor Cavalier Johnson, that's what I told them. I said, we need to come together. And I want the 19th district to be an asset to Milwaukee. It should be part of the solution. We should be working together and sharing notes and collaborating. And that's what we can do if you help me out. And they were more than receptive because they don't feel heard by the current representative.
Which I think is truly sad. And listen, I don't need to just read from the Urban Milwaukee article because I worked with Ryan Clancy for 4 years as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel. All I can say is that all of the reporting in Urban Milwaukee is 100% accurate. I have watched Mr. Clancy reveal confidential information. I have watched him misrepresent what people have said to the point of it being a blatant lie. I have watched him self-aggrandize. I have watched him exploit the pain of people in our community to make himself feel more important. And he has done all that by being one of the most singularly ineffective legislators I have ever witnessed at Milwaukee County. If you live in the 19th Assembly District and you want to be sure that absolutely none of your interests ever have a reasonable voice that anyone will listen to in the Wisconsin Assembly, then vote for Ryan Clancy. If instead you want someone who may actually be invited to the table, who will put forward reasonable policies or proposals with some chance of success, that wants to get things done and doesn't just want to see their name in the paper, there's only one choice, and his name's Jared Anderson. Again, I've said it here, I'll say it here again. My endorsement for you, Jared, is unequivocal and about as strong as they ever could possibly come. I've worked in government for a long, long time, folks. Longer than Mr. Clancy has. I have rarely run across someone so perfectly ill-suited to actually serve as an elected representative. And it's not about the differences of opinion. It's about the how. You don't disrespect people. You don't talk out of turn. And you don't lie. That's not how we get things done. And maybe how some people in the MAGA movement get it done, but we don't need our own little mini versions of the MAGA movement on the far left. Extremism is not how democratic institutions work. and it never has been. I'm going to give you the floor to close it out this half hour, Jared. Why should people vote for you?
Well, you said it best. You know, if you are looking for collaborative leadership, if you're looking for somebody in the 19th that's going to take seriously that we are the marquee district, that we represent downtown and Summerfest, then you got to vote for me. I'm a healthcare attorney here in town. I work at Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative, which is the largest ACA plan on this side of the state. And I have experience building policy and building coalition so that we can do more for public health, right? And when we get there, when we have the majority in the assembly, which it looks like we can do this year, we're going to expand Badger Care. We're going to protect a woman's right to choose. We're going to protect contraception. We're going to legalize marijuana. And we're going to do a lot more for healthcare in this community because that's what we need to do. And that's where my expertise is.
And you won't lie to people, exploit people just to get your name in the paper, I hope, right?
Not at all. Not at all, Maggie. This is about representation. This is about doing a job.
I love it. Thanks so much. My guest this half hour, candidate for the 19th District Assembly seat, Jared Anderson. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your farm update and news are next. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do I look like a socialist? Look at my career, my whole career. I am not a socialist. I beat the socialists. That's how I got elected.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to give away some Brewers tickets this last half an hour of the show. They're going to be for the Brewers-Texans game coming up this Monday here at AmFam Field. We got 6 tickets. We're going to give them away in pairs of 2. There will be some, no big surprise here, baseball trivia involved. Sports fans, of course there will. You couldn't do it any other way, could I, Brian?
No, you can't. We got baseball stories to talk about. We love baseball, and we're giving away baseball tickets. I think it's only fitting that baseball trivia is what we get.
I love it, everybody. What I want to start with is something pretty serious. We saw the passing of baseball great, perhaps the greatest to ever play the game this week in Willie Mays. There was a celebration of the Negro Leagues, and Reggie Jackson was there, and he had some words. Now, if you're not a baseball fanatic like Brian and I, that's okay. I'll remind you about who Reggie Jackson is. He is a former right fielder who played 21 seasons of baseball, which is an incredibly long career. He played for the Oakland A's, the Baltimore Orioles, the Yankees, the California Angels, and he was, of course, inducted, rightly so, into the Baseball Hall of Fame in I believe, the early 90s. You probably have heard Reggie Jackson's nickname. He was called Mr. October, because this was the guy you wanted around for clutch hitting in the postseason. He helped the Oakland A's win 5 consecutive American League West divisional titles, 3 straight American League pennants, and 3 consecutive World Series titles. I just want that to soak in, because that is amazing. 3 consecutive World Series titles from 1972 to 1974. He helped the New York Yankees win 4 AL East divisional pennants, 3 American League pennants, and back-to-back World Series titles in 1977 and 1978. Basically, this was the guy to have on your team. And, oh, by the way, if I haven't quite convinced you yet, Reggie Jackson hit 3 consecutive home runs at Yankee Stadium in the clinching game 6 of the 1977 World Series. All right. This guy's the freaking man, okay?
He's got a career war of 74.
It's incredible.
I grew up knowing that Reggie Jackson, just not even like, it wasn't a debate, like just knowing that Reggie Jackson was the greatest baseball player at that time.
That is not debatable from that period of time. Two-time World Series MVP, two-time Silver Slugger, four-time AL home run leader, AL RBI leader, 14-time All-Star, five-time World Series champ, AL MVP in 1970. I could go on. If you want Brewers tickets, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What was Reggie Jackson's career batting average? Let's start with that little factoid. What was Reggie Jackson's career batting average? We'll give you a pair of tickets to Monday's game, Brewers versus the Texans at AmFam Field. While we do that, Brian, let's take a listen to what Reggie Jackson had to say about playing baseball. He took his first trot out onto the field in 1967 for the Kansas City Athletics. Let's listen to what Reggie had to say about playing baseball in the 60s and 70s.
And just to throw this out there, the first speaker is Alex Rodriguez.
Been passed for over a century here. We've been talking earlier about if it wasn't for the Willie Mays, the Jackie Robinson, the Reggie Jacksons, the three of us wouldn't have an opportunity to play. How emotional is it for you to come back to a play that you played with one of the greatest teams around?
Alex, when people ask me a question like that, it's like coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person? You think you won when you played here and conquered? I said, you know, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, the can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, the can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's Country Club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager in Johnny McNamara that if I couldn't eat in the place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay. Had it not been for Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, Dave Duncan, Joe and Sharon Rudy, I slept on their couch 3-4 nights a week for about a month and a half. Finally, they were threatened that they would burn our apartment complex down unless I got out. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. The year I came here, Bull Connor was the sheriff the year before. And they took minor league baseball out of here. Because in 1963, the Klan murdered four black girls, children, in 11, 12, 14 years old at a church here and never got indicted. It was, they were from the Klan. Life magazine did a story on them like they were being honored. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. At the same time, had it not been for my white friends, had it not been for a white manager and Rudy Fingers and Duncan and Lee Myers, I would have never made it. I was too physically violent. I was ready to physically fight some. I'd have got killed here because I'd have beat someone's ass and you'd have saw me in an oak tree somewhere.
Reggie, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, that's Reggie Jackson. I think, was it just yesterday, Brian? Last night, that was outside in Rickwood Stadium where they had a game between the San Francisco Giants and St. Louis Cardinals. That is in Birmingham, Alabama. That's where Rickwood is. And that is where the Birmingham Black Barons used to play in the Negro Leagues back in the 1940s. Of course, Willie Mays came out of the Birmingham Black Barons. Now, let's not get this twisted. Reggie Jackson played in the MLB from 1967 to 1987. This isn't some like distant past. This is a guy who played for a decade after I was born. This was 20 years he started in the MLB after it was integrated. It was after when de jure segregation was outlawed. It was after the Civil Rights Act, after the Voting Rights Act, and this was still going on. This sort of bigotry, hatred, you know, this has not gone away in sport, by the way. It's living and breathing today. I also just want to give a shout out. How freaking awesome that Reggie gave a shout out himself to Raleigh Fingers, Brewers pitching legend. I've met the man a couple of times. Might not be the best at managing his money, but boy, is he a gracious fellow and always a lot of fun to talk baseball with.
It was cool hearing him tear up when he was talking about the people who housed him.
Yes.
And man, when he said if it weren't for those people, I'd be swinging from an oak tree. I sounded like the other guy at the other, which, by the way, let me also paint the picture for you for Major League Baseball. They did sepia graphics and all this stuff to make everybody feel good about the old-timey past, and Reggie Jackson wasn't having any of it. But yeah. The thing is, they did this at the pregame on what another radio broadcaster called Diversity Island, and that one guy at the end was the only other white broadcaster on that. But yet, during the game, they had a crew of four white straight dudes. And again, they don't. The four white straight dudes, I have no problem with them. They were totally fine. It had nothing to do with it. But it was more like, you guys aren't getting it. I mean, you get it, but you're not getting it. And I think that talking from Reggie Jackson, that speech he just gave, kind of really informs almost everything you ever worried or thought about, all the stuff that you hear about Reggie Jackson, how he's hard to work with. Oh my goodness, it was hard to play with him and stuff. Boy, wouldn't it be hard to play anyone, just if you had to deal with that, just living.
Well, and here's the point as well. I mean, all of that. And you got Byron Daniels, who's a black elected official, right? Who is a MAGA acolyte, who just, I don't know, when was it? A week or two ago?
On the 4th.
Said this. During Jim Crow, the black family was together.
I have that sound.
Oh, great. Let's listen to it.
During Jim Crow, the black family was together.
That's right.
During Jim Crow, more black people were not just conservative, because black people always have been conservative minded, but more black people voted conservatively. And then HEW, Lyndon Johnson, and then you go down that road, and now we are where we are.
He just yada, yada, yada the civil rights movement.
Yes. And what he was saying was, gee whiz, wasn't it all better back during Jim Crow? I guess Reggie Jackson would probably call Byron Daniels a total moron right to his face. That is so offensive. Not just to black and brown people, but any group who's not always enjoyed equal protection under the laws. You're saying, oh yeah, maybe black people were better off, you know, when we still enslaved folks. Byron Daniels, ridiculous. And my point here is that you can turn to the WNBA and the U.S. Olympic team to see that racism in sport, racism and sexism, misogyny noir is still alive and well. It is baked into our cake. Here is how it's showing up. Obviously, Caitlin Clark, huge star of the WNBA. So is Angel Reese. They play on different teams. Clark plays for the Indiana Fever. Reese plays for the Chicago Sky. when they played 3 million viewers, the most that have ever watched a WNBA game in 23 years. Okay. All due respect to every Caitlin Clark fan out there. I love her too. But guess who I loved first? Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swopes, Sue Bird. There are people that have come before that have enabled Caitlin Clark to break through in the way that she has. And here's what has happened. They announced the U.S. team for the Olympics, the women's basketball team. Caitlin Clark ain't on the team. She's a rookie. There are people that have been doing this for far, far longer, okay? I'm going to tell you what some sports commentators have had to say, what the commish had to say, because it is a lot. And by the way, thank you, Tom, from Minnesota. It is Byron Donalds, not Daniels. Thank you. He's horrible no matter what his name is. I agree with you, Tom. Hi, Maggie Dawn. I'm going to give you those final thoughts. We're going to hand out a couple more pairs of tickets when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
It could all be so simple, but you had to make it hard. Racism in sports is alive and well, as is sexism, homophobia, and all the rest of it. Dealing with reality, right? Legislating from a place of reality, voting from a place with your feet firmly planted on planet Earth. Like, this matters. Telling the truth about stuff deeply matters. And so what Reggie Jackson had to say yesterday, like, kudos. Thank you. For being clear, for mincing no words. Because when you look at what the response has been across the sports commentariat about Caitlin Clark getting left off of Team USA for women's basketball, it's been frankly disgusting. Basically, it's been like, well, how dare you leave Caitlin Clark? She's a rookie. Brittany Griner gets to be on Team USA, right? Like, Diana Taurasi gets to be on Team USA. I mean, it is just stacked with veteran talent, a female dream team if there ever was one. No members of Team USA are under the age of 26. Columnist Christine Brennan described the Olympic decision as a snub and charged that USA Basketball, quote, dumped Clark. Barstool Sports came out with a T-shirt with five images of Clark, each holding one of the five Olympic rings, with the quote, the only player that matters. Really?
Wow.
I thought they won before that. Right? The NBA commissioner, by the way, it's really hard to play five-on-five basketball with one player. NBA commissioner Adam Silver said this, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, but would have been nice to see her on the floor. Now, Caitlin Clark has been really gracious. She said, I'm not disappointing. It's something to work for. It's a dream. Hopefully, when 4 years come back around, I'll be on. She's been great. But here's what. Professional blowhard, righty whitey weirdo Jason Whitlock called the WNBA a traveling lesbian cult and then had this to say, quote, it's being very hostile towards Caitlin Clark because they'd like to break her. ruin her and destroy her so that they can install a lesbian or black woman, preferably a black lesbian woman, as this is the face of the league. Have you ever heard one of them talk about what men have done for them?
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, that's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
This, all of this hubbub about Caitlin Clark is basically because the presumption is, let's not tick off any white or white male fans. The WNBA is 60% black, for crying out loud.
And look, they got a huge ratings boost by having her part of the league. There's no denying that. However, if I were Caitlin Clark, I'd be like, thank you so much. I get a break. Do I get to stop? Because she's been, you forget the season ended, she got drafted, and then she was playing like weeks later.
Yes. And it's, listen, these are ands. Like, we don't elevate one group by disparaging another. The league doesn't get better. Women's sports doesn't get better by crapping on anybody who's not named Caitlin Clark. It's racist. It's misogynist. It's sexist. It's all of the above. All right, we've given away the first set of tickets to Mike from Green Bay. We got two more sets to go. So for the next callers, here are your Reggie Jackson factoids, trivia. If you know his total number of hits in his career, total number of hits, that'll score you two tickets to Monday's game against the Texans. First pitch, 7 o'clock. And if you know Reggie Jackson's total number of home runs, you'll get that last set of tickets here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All of this angst and you know, this vitriol and racism, it puts a real damper on what should be an incredible moment, both in women's sports, but especially in women's basketball. I think the fact that Reggie Jackson felt compelled to say that, to be so very clear yesterday, points to, frankly, what he must have felt very deeply is a whitewashing of history, right? An avoiding of history. Forget all those hard parts, forget the racism and all those things, when it's very much alive and well for present day athletes. I forget which team the Bucks were playing, but the opposing team, one of their marquee players had to come out and say that his brother was called the N-word by fans. Like, why is this acceptable? We had a reporter last summer that was at Country Thunder, a younger female black reporter who is called the N-word not once but twice while she was out trying to do her stinking job. It is very clear to me, and I challenge conservatives on this point, especially if you're a conservative of conscience, as most claim to be. Why is the racism that Donald Trump has unleashed, which we all always had, it was always there, why is that overt, virulent, hate-filled, rage-filled racism that is the Donald Trump MAGA brand, why is that acceptable to you? Why is it okay to ignore that and vote for the guy anyways? I just don't get it.
Maggie, I got a really quick trivia question for you that maybe exemplifies what you were talking about as far as the Olympics goes. And it's a trick question. Do you know who the most accomplished and probably the best athlete that is currently living in Chicago right now?
Oh, that's a trick question because it's about Chicago.
No, it's not. It's about the United States because it's Simone Biles.
I was going to say Angel Reese because she plays for the Chicago Sky. Yeah,
she's pretty darn awesome, but Simone Biles lives in Chicago now. And
I love it. Yeah. Guess what they have in common? Black women. Awesome. Yep. That's all we got time for. Good luck with the tickets, everybody. If you haven't snapped them up yet, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752. We got to know Reggie Jackson's batting average and total home run over his career. It's been a real pleasure. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
not a role model.